Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Just lift your hands to the Father. Just honor God right where you are. We worship you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We worship you, God. Be glorified in this place, Lord. We magnify you, Lord.
Thank you for your goodness.
Honor and glory belongs to you. Or this is a time when I am calling forth my broken ones. This is a time where I'm calling forth those who are wounded, those who have said, I cannot be used by God, those with a past, those with shame. I'm calling them forth. The Lord your God would say, look to my son and look to his wounds. Look to the place where he was pierced and to the place of his brokenness. For it was there that I caused life, the blood and the water to flow. From the place of piercing, from the place of pain, I brought forth my redemptive purpose and my cleansing and my refreshing to all those who are broken. And the word of the Lord would come to you, you that have a past, you that have brokenness and pain in your life. I have not forgotten you. I have not passed you over. In fact, I allowed that time of pain to come so that I could plant my seed deep within you. For out of that place of woundedness and out of that hurt, I am calling forth greatness, says the Lord. I'm calling forth refreshing into the earth, redemption and cleansing through your life, your mouth, your heart, your prayers. I will use you, says the Lord. So trust in me and know that I am the one that redeems your broken past. I am the one that causes you to rise up out of death into new life. I am your Savior, your Deliverer, and your Redeemer, says the Lord. Trust in me, for as you rely upon my strength, I will use you in this new season, says the Lord your God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's shout to the Lord, everybody. Lord, I pray over the hurt, the brokenness, the pain that is in every one of our lives. Lord, every person I know is hurting somewhere. Maybe it's in a family situation. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's physical pain. But God, we just thank you that you are the one that calls us out of those conditions into a place of blessing. And Lord, now let the Holy Spirit's power fall afresh, Lord, on this sanctuary, on the cafe, Lord, all across this campus, that Lord, you would redeem our mistakes, that you would heal our wounds, you would lift our broken lives and use us in this now, in this hour, Lord. We praise you and we thank you for gathering us. We say, Lord, we honor you and we glorify you. And we magnify you for all your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for redeeming our past and healing us and raising us up, Lord. We love you. And everyone that agrees, say, amen. Give the Lord a mighty hand clap this morning and bless his name.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
I'm so excited about Super Sunday, which is today. Tonight, there's going to be a fantastic gathering for the women. And this one happens to be combined with the graduation for Impact School of Ministry. And so our graduates get a special treat from Dallas, Texas, a woman who has traveled the nations, touched the nations, a woman whose ministry defies convention. And you cannot slot her into any one particular calling or office. She is mightily anointed across many, but we love her and know her as an apostle, Barbara Wintrobel, and she is here. Would you welcome her from International Breakthrough Ministries? Barbara, thank you for coming to Gateway and being with us. We love you. We love this woman. I was trying to remember when it was you were with us, Barbara, that last time. Was it a year ago? Something then, and thank you for coming back.
Thank you so much, Pastor David. It's awesome to be here. I love Pastor David, Pastor Kathy, the whole staff here. I told them this morning they spoil me so bad that it makes you not want to leave. So thank you very much. It's such an honor and a privilege for me to be here. And what an awesome time to be able to be with your graduating class. We had a great time last night. And I'm just excited about what's going to happen through these amazing men and women of God going out from this place and what God's put in their lives. So thank you again for letting me be here. Tonight we're going to have an exciting time with women. How many of you know when you get women together, God always shows up? It's just something about it, you know? And so tonight I'm going to be talking to the women about reinventing yourself. I mean, if you know that if we're going into this new season and we're going into everything God has, we have to reinvent ourselves. We cannot be in the new season who we were in the old. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. So it's just going to be a wonderful, awesome time. And I want to encourage you to come, you women. Now, it's always hard to keep the men out. Anytime you have a women's conference, they'll volunteer. The men will volunteer for anything just to be able to get in because they know when those women get together, God's going to show up and they don't want to miss anything. But we'll have a wonderful time and I'm looking forward to it. Let me just say we do have some products out on our table, and so be sure and stop by there and pick some of those up. I'm just going to mention a couple that I have out there. One is a book called Praying with Authority. This is really apostolic intercession. It's just that the publisher didn't like that title, you know? So we call it Praying with Authority. But it has to do with proclamations, declarations, and decrees. You see, when we shift to a new season, intercession has to shift. And so this will help us to be used of the Lord, to be His voice in the earth, to bring about change. So that will be out there. My newest book that's just been out a couple of months, it's called Empowered for Your Purpose. How many of you know God has a purpose, has a destiny for each one of us? And there's a process that we go through to come into the full purpose God has. And so this will be there to help you to know how to let the Lord bring you into the fullness of all that He has for you. And then for anyone who purchases anything off of our table, I brought along a little book. It was one of the first books I wrote called A People of Destiny, because you are a person of destiny. God has something for you, and that's why so many times you don't feel like you fit into the ordinary. And it's because God didn't create you for the ordinary. He created you for the supernatural, and this will help you to understand your call as a person of destiny. So this is a complimentary copy for you if you purchase anything off of our table, and so that will be out there. Okay, well, how many of you ready for anything God wants to do this morning? I thought so. I'm telling you, you could feel the excitement in the air when you came in this morning. And I'm just grateful that I get to be part of it and just get to be in on what God's doing in this place. You're an amazing group of people, and I so love your pastors here. They're my kind of people. I mean, I just enjoy it. Every time I get to be with Pastor David, Pastor Kathy, I want you to know that's one of my highlights of the year. And so thank you for being so gracious to me and allowing me to be here. This morning I want to talk to you about fighting through the shaking. I mean, if you know, a lot of things are shaking in the earth today. And we must be a people who understand the shaking that's going on so that we're not devastated in the midst of it, but that we receive everything that God has for us. So we're going to look at that just a little bit this morning. Because what's happening is God is advancing His kingdom in the earth. And His advancement of the kingdom of God has been going on ever since time began. How many of you know that God is not going to stop short of anything that He has purposed and planned? God's probably, He is the most stubborn person you will ever meet. I mean, when He makes up His mind, He's going to do something, He's going to do it. And so he's made promises to you and me that we can be part of this that he is doing in the earth. So God had a plan then for mankind from before the foundation of the earth. And it didn't matter how many demons came along. It didn't matter how darkness came. It didn't matter what people did. God has not changed his mind concerning his plan for the earth. And so he's had this plan since the foundation of the earth. And we see all through the word of God and all through history how God has made prophetic promises for redemption given throughout history. And as Pastor David released that prophetic word this morning, the scars and the pain and all that was given by the Lord to be able to purchase redemption, not only for the earth, but for you and me and for everything that God has for us. And sometimes God just needs to remind us of what he has done for us so that we don't forget that God is not caught off guard by anything that's going on in our lives. He's not caught off guard by anything that's going on in the nations of the earth. And God has that plan for redemption, and we see it through all history. Now, I want to say to you this morning that no matter what happens in the earth, there's always an ebb and flow of God's plan in the earth. Even in those times where it seems that nothing good is happening, even in those times where it seems that God is not moving, God always has a plan. And so even in the time that you and I are living in now, as we're seeing the nations in such conflict, as we're seeing governments that are totally opposed to the plan of God in the earth, I want you to know it is not too hard for God. Tell your neighbor it's not too hard for God. And to get a little bit closer to home, I want to say to you, California is not too hard for God. Tell your neighbor it's not too hard for God. A few months back, I was in another city in California, in Southern California, and one of the words that I released at that time was that California is going to be known as a turnaround state. That there's some things going on in California God is going to turn around. I tell people in California, don't believe the press. You know, they always want to point out the crazies. They always want to point out the weirdos and all of those things. I tell people all the time, I love California. People ask me, Barbara, if you could live any place other than Texas, where would it be? I always say California. I love California. And I love San Jose. I love it. And so I want to encourage you today. God has some awesome people in California. Some of the greatest people I know in the whole earth, including you, are right here in California, in San Jose. So don't get discouraged by what you see going on around you, because there's always been an ebb and a flow. There's always been a time when it looked like God wasn't doing anything, but he was, and will continue until his plan is fully realized. So there's been times when it didn't look like he would fulfill his promises to his people. I mean, if you know, the Bible tells us that the promises of God are yes and they are amen. And so God has not changed his mind concerning what he has promised you, what he has promised this city, this state, this nation. God is well aware of the promises that he has made to us. Now, there's times, like I say, when it looks like God is not going to do what he said he would do. You remember the time when Israel was down in Egypt, and there they were under that Pharaoh system. I want you to know we need to be careful that we don't get into a Pharaoh system in this nation. But they were under a Pharaoh system there in Egypt, and it looked as if they would never come into the promises of God. For 400 years, they're down there, and they were slaves. They were working hard. In fact, they came to the place where the Bible tells us they had to continue building brick, but with no straw. So every day they were having to work harder and harder because they were required to meet their quota for the day, no matter how difficult it was. And so it didn't look like God was going to do what he said he would do. When he said that he had a land for them that was filled with milk and honey. But God. Tell your neighbor, but God. But God is a faithful God. And he did what he said he would do. And he brought his people into the promise that he had for them. We look at the dark ages. And during those dark ages, it didn't look like God's light was in the world. It looked very dark. There was no fresh word from God. There was no revelation that was coming forth. It was sort of like the blind leading the blind, if you will. I won't go into a lot of that except to say you had leaders in the church without a born-again spirit leading people without a born-again spirit. And so because of that, there was no light in a world of darkness. But God. Tell your neighbor, but God. But God raised up a man in the 1500s, Martin Luther, and light came on in the church. And we have been in a time of restoration and a time of revelation. See, God is a faithful God. That's what I want to say to you this morning. And that when he has made a promise to you, he's a faithful God that's going to keep it. Last night, we had the honor and privilege of blessing and laying hands on the graduates of your school. And God made promises to them. God identified giftings and anointings in their lives. And I want to say to you graduates that you're going to be able to take that word. And you're going to be able to do what the Bible says. You're going to be able to use that as a tool in your arsenal in the battles that you go through to pull out that word and to be able to say, but God. God said this in my life. And so we need those promises from the Lord. And so I want to say to you today that God's prophetic promise in your life is part of his plan for the earth. You see, God is concerned about every person and your life and what he has for you is part of the big picture of what God is wanting to do in the earth. And so he didn't put you here for somebody else to do what he called you to do. I remember many, many years ago, more years than I like to think sometimes. I remember I was never in this person's meetings, but I knew about her. And there was a woman, and she was very powerful in the ministry. And I'm sure some of you know who I'm talking about. And she always made the statement that she was doing what she was doing because there was no man to take her place. I want to declare over you today, I'm not taking any man's place. I'm not doing what God calls somebody else to do. I'm doing what he called me to do. Are you hearing me? Because you see, in that, it sounded to me like she was saying, there are all these disobedient men in the earth. They're so rebellious and so disobedient, none of them will respond to God's call. Therefore, God had to find a woman. I believe God has such a powerful group of men in the earth. Men who love God, men who worship God, men who want to serve God with their whole being. So I would just want to say to you, I'm not taking any man's place. I'm just doing what God called me to do. And those of you who know me know I did it with heel marks along the way. Because I kept telling the Lord, not me, Lord. Get somebody else, Lord. And I can remember the battle that I went through with the Lord. Lord, you know I can't speak. Lord, you know every time I try to speak to three people, my voice closes off, can't get a sound out. And God started speaking to me prophetically and began to say, Barbara, you're going to stand before rulers and kings of nations and you'll declare the word of the Lord. Well, I couldn't figure out, first of all, how I would even get to those nations. You know, people didn't used to fly around the world the way they do today. And then if I got to those nations, I couldn't figure out how in the world I'd ever get before kings or rulers. And what would I say if I got there? But God. Everyone say, but God. And so today, God has me doing exactly what those prophetic promises said. But I want you to know it wasn't something that just, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. I want you to know there was a battle along the way. There was a fight in the spirit. Now, when I say fighting, I'm not talking about a physical battle. But I'm talking about a battle of faith where we have to believe God more than we believe the assignments that are against us and the hindrances that are there. So God has a people today who are going to use their faith to fight through, believing that the Word of God and the power of God is so much stronger than anything that the enemy or life or circumstances would bring against them. You better tell your neighbor again, but God. See, God's going to do it in our lives. So we see in the time that we are living in today that there's a shaking going on. Have you noticed that? You've noticed it. All right. God is shaking everything that can be shaken so that His prophetic promise can be established. And so we don't want to fear the shaking. We don't want to fear, oh my, what if all this happens? Where is God in the midst of it? God's going to have His way. He is going to have His purpose come forth in the earth. Because you see, there's a scripture that says that the time is going to come when the knowledge of the glory of God is going to fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. I long for that day. There's a scripture that says the time is going to come when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. I want you to know God's promises are yes and they are amen. So we must have a people in the earth that agree with God and His promises more than we agree with the circumstances around us. I love the Message Bible. I like to read that sometimes because I like the way it says things. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29, it says, do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. Tell your neighbor, this is unshakable. Unshakable. See, you're part of an unshakable kingdom. And do you see how thankful we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship. Deeply reverent before God. For God is not an indifferent bystander. He's actively cleaning house, torching all that needs to burn, and He won't quit until it's all cleansed. God Himself is fire. Amen. Tell your neighbor, God is fire.
God is fire.
See, God is fire, and because He's on the inside of you, that means you have fire on the inside of you. So God is igniting something in the earth today. He is waking up this what's called the sleeping giant. He's waking us up to our purpose and to our destiny, waking us up to why He put us in the earth. And God has a people in this hour that are sensing something going on, even though we may not know how to describe it. So it's the fire of God that is being reignited. Sometimes we call this reformation. Sometimes we call it awakening. But what God is doing is reigniting the fire that's inside His church so that His plan can be released into the earth. Now, I've been in a number of hailstorms in the last number of years. The region that I'm in has them ever so often. I was with Pastor David a couple of years ago. We had a mighty hailstorm in the midst of a conference we were doing. The pastor of that church later said, Barbara, he said, we had a transference of wealth that night. He said, because all these cars got damaged and people got new cars. So it was a transference of wealth. So hailstorms can do a lot of damage. I was thinking about one that we sort of missed, but we had the effects of it several years ago. We had built a new home. It's been almost 4 years ago. And Dale and I were on an Alaskan cruise on vacation with a couple of other couples. And our house was like 10 months old. And so our daughter calls us and she said, "Mom, I don't want you to be alarmed. She said, I want you to enjoy your vacation." But she says, "We had a hailstorm come through yesterday." And so she said, "We went over to check out your house." And she said, "It's really bad." But she said, I'm calling the window people to get your order in early. And she said, "We'll clean up a little bit so it won't look quite so bad when you come home. Just enjoy your vacation." Don't you just love good news like that? And so we came home a few days later to discover we had $40,000 damage to our house that was 10 months old. I mean, every house in the neighborhood had to have new roofs, windows, gutters and downspouts, just lots and lots of things. And I got to thinking about that. First of all, I was thankful that we had a fairly small deductible on our insurance to cover so much of that. But I got to thinking about the fact that here we were on a cruise ship, sleeping soundly, enjoying ourselves, and not even aware of the storm that was around us. And I believe in this hour that you and I are living in, we're going to have to learn what it is to find that place of rest. Find that place of peace in the midst of every storm that is blowing around us. Because God is going to show us how to enter into His presence and into His peace. I want to say to you that no matter what happens, regardless of the shaking, regardless of the circumstances, His promises are not voided due to what's going on around you. So important. The shaking does not void the promises of God. So advancing God's purpose in the earth, I also want to say to you, this has never been convenient. Have you ever noticed we're always looking for a convenient time? Lord, we're going to do this just as soon as we get through whatever it is that we're walking through. And I want to say, if you're going to be part of advancing God's kingdom, if you're going to be part of making a difference in the earth, it will never be a convenient time. God will always come at the seemingly most inconvenient time to see if you're willing to be part of what He is doing. You see, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of the shaking, God always raises up a voice to break the power of darkness. This is so important that we understand this. I want to say to you that God wants your voice to be the voice of the Lord in the earth. He wants to use your voice to break the power of whatever darkness is around you. Whether that darkness is a physical infirmity, whether that darkness is a financial situation, whether that darkness has to do with a difficult relationship, God wants to use your voice. As we begin to declare into the heavens and we begin to declare to those evil powers that are trying to hinder God's purposes, that we can be God's voice in the earth. See, the Bible says the voice of the Lord is on the waters. You can go back into Psalms and see that. And the voice of the Lord breaks some things. See, the Bible also says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. So God's voice is on these waters inside you. And as your voice is released to speak to the shaking, speak to the power, speak to the circumstances, I want us to see today that it can be just like the voice of God. When God said, "Light be," light had no choice. Light had to be because it was the voice of the Lord that said it. And when you let God's voice be on your waters, as you release that, things that have been in place, things that have hindered, things that have caused adversity, I want you to know your voice can break the power of darkness that is around you. Amen. That's good news, isn't it? We're not some insignificant, wimpy little church. I tell people all the time, Jesus did not die for a wimpy church. Tell your neighbor, don't be a wimp. Jesus died for a glorious, powerful, victorious church. And so he's raised you and me up in this hour to be part of this that he's doing. So he has to have a voice to speak into the earth and to speak to some situations and speak to some governments. I want us to see in the life of Moses. Remember how God raised Moses up. And Moses was like so many of us. He said, Lord, I can't speak. You've got the wrong person. And God said, I'll give you a voice. And we see Moses standing before Pharaoh, standing before this demonized ruler that thought he could keep God's people in captivity. I want to say to you, God's going to raise some of you up in this hour. And you're going to stand before some demonized rulers. And you're going to stand in the boldness and the confidence of God. And you're going to let God's voice be upon the waters that are within you. And even as Moses spoke, and he spoke to that ruler, and he said, you let my people go. I want to say to you, some of you are going to be speaking to people in high places and commanding that they let God's people go so that they can be free in the things of God. This is an awesome time that we're living in. This is an awesome time. In the midst of the adversity and the shaking, God has a people. We look at Elijah. Elijah was a prophet. And we see how, once again, Elijah stands before this high ruler. And he says, it's not going to rain until I say it can rain. I want you to see Elijah had a word from the Lord. And he understood his authority as a representative of God in the earth. He was not there in his own flesh. He was not looking at his own ability or inability. But he knew he had a word from God. And he knew if he would just release that word, God would back him up. Some of you have a word from the Lord. You have a word that you have come into the presence of God, and you know God has put a word on the inside of you. And you're going to be like Moses, and you're going to be like Elijah, and you're going to command that the evil powers that are holding God's people in captivity turn loose, for this is a day of freedom. And I just want to prophesy something over this group right now. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say that even as God himself is a deliverer, and even as God himself raised up deliverers throughout history to deliver God's people, I say I'm raising up some deliverers in this place, says the Lord. I'm putting a delivering anointing upon you. I say this is going to be a place where there is an army of deliverers, says the Lord. God says, do not look to someone else to do what I've called you to do. For I say this is your hour of empowerment. This is your hour of receiving a fresh mandate from the Lord. And I say, know that in this season, says God, I'm going to put my words in your mouth. I'm going to equip you in a new way, says the Lord. God said, do not be looking for someone else to do what I've called you to do. But God says, know that I will have a people who will volunteer freely in the day of my power. And I say, this is the day of my power, says the Lord. For my power is stronger than the power of the enemy. It is stronger than the power of civil government. It is stronger than the power of that would try to hold a people in captivity. So I say, know that this is a season that I put a fresh deliverance anointing upon you, and I call forth my army of deliverers in this hour. So when there is darkness, God always calls light out of darkness. I mentioned Martin Luther. See, in the midst of that darkness, God called a people out of that darkness. When there is drought in the hearts of men and women, and don't we see that today? A dryness, a hardness in the hearts of men and women. God calls out rivers and makes a way in the wilderness. He is not caught off guard because men's hearts have grown cold and hard. And I want us to see that one of the ways that God does this is through prophetic voices. God raises up prophets in this hour, and God uses prophets to declare the next move of God. There's a scripture that says that without a vision, the people perish. Without prophetic revelation, see, people go backwards. They don't move forward. And God has to have a people with prophetic vision to see where God's taking the church. I heard a phrase years ago, and it said, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And too many times, this is what happens, doesn't it? We don't know prophetically where we're going, so we just take any road, and it doesn't work. But God, the beautiful thing about this church is your prophetic foundation that's in this church. Because this is a church that has been trained and equipped to hear God and to be able to move with the Spirit of the Lord so that you're not perishing. You're not going backwards, but you're moving forward with the fresh thing that God is doing in the earth. So prophets declare the next move of God. And then God raises up apostles to establish order out of the confusion and the chaos to help us to see what God is wanting to do in the midst of all of the chaos that is around us. So there must be then this clarion cry from an apostolic prophetic people who will harmonize heaven with earth. You see, our purpose is not just to get out of here and enjoy the street of gold and the pearly gate and angel music and all of that. And in fact, I tell people sometimes that, when people say, well, you know, I just picture heaven and all of the angels playing harp music. And I think about myself. And I said, if I thought I had to spend all of eternity sitting on a fluffy cloud, eating strawberries and cream, and listening to angels play harp music, I would die in heaven. You know what I'm saying? Some of us want to see something a little more than that. And I believe that's why you're part of this church. I believe that's why you're in all this happening here. Because you want your life to make a difference. You want to know that when you leave this earth, that your life has made an impact in the earth. And God's going to cause us to do some things in this life that will harmonize heaven and earth. In other words, God wants San Jose to look more like heaven. How many of you know there's some things in San Jose that don't look like heaven? There's some things in California that don't look like heaven. But God has a people in this hour that He is going to empower and send forth to cause the reality of heaven to come into this region, to come into our lives individually. You see, sickness doesn't look like heaven. Broken relationships don't look like heaven. Financial disaster does not look like heaven. So God must have a people then that can get the word of the Lord and the strategy of God on how do we cause our lives and our community and our state to look more like heaven. So God makes promises for you on earth so that your life then will look more like heaven. God uses covenant men and women. That's you and me. See, when you are born again, it's because you're in covenant with God. And every time you take communion, what you're doing is renewing your covenant with God. And so God is not waiting for all the evil to leave San Jose. He's not waiting for all of the drug dealers to leave San Jose. He's looking for covenant people in this hour who will rise up, who will be an expression of the Lord, and who will accelerate God's purposes in the earth. We look at the book of Esther and we see Esther was raised up by God to prevent the annihilation of her entire nation. She seemed to be the least likely person. She was an orphan. She didn't have the right background to do what she was called to do. And so many times we make excuses and say, well, I'm not qualified. I don't have the right education. I don't have the right finances. Don't have the right connection. It's a time when we have to put aside all of our excuses and say, Lord, I volunteer freely in the day of your power. I give myself, we sang that song earlier, I give myself to you so that you can use me. And so we're giving our life away to the Lord so that he can use us. Esther was a voice that God used to advance his purposes, even though she seemed to be the most unlikely one. And just like Esther of old, you and I have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. In the midst of all the shaking, in the midst of all of the demonic evil powers that are working around us, God knew exactly the time that he wanted to bring us into the earth. And he wants our lives to make a difference. So Esther understood the pressure of her times. Anybody know about pressure? Anybody been experiencing pressure? See, Esther understood the pressure of her times. And she understood that she had to fight for God's promise for her nation in the midst of adversity. And therefore, in the midst of the adversity around you, God must have a people in this region who will use their voice and will rise up and let God use them to break the power of darkness. You see, if Esther was going to do this, if she was going to fulfill her God-given assignment, she had to be properly aligned. Alignment is a very important key in our walk with the Lord. And I want to say to you, because you are aligned with this church, you are not doing this alone. No one person can do what needs to be done in San Jose. No one person can do what needs to be done in California. And therefore, we must be strongly aligned with one another. If we're going to see the results that God wants, if we're going to see San Jose and California look more like heaven, it's going to be because God's found a people who are aligned together. So Esther was aligned with Mordecai. And you see, Mordecai believed that Esther could get the job done. Isn't it wonderful that we can align with a pastor and with pastors and leaders in this place who believe in us when we don't believe in ourselves, who believe we can get the job done and will encourage us and empower us, lay hands on us and send us forth because they believe in us? You see, you and I must be a people who are aligned and who get around others who will celebrate us, not just tolerate us. Too many times people just tolerate us. They just sort of put up with us. But I want you to know God wants you connected with those who are not just putting up with you. They're celebrating every victory along the way. They're celebrating every step that you take toward advancing your purpose in life. And so God must have a people who do that. And so we need those people. Now, because Esther had proper alignment in her life, she was able to press through an impossible situation and see the Lord fulfill his promise for her people. And I want to encourage you, the dream, the vision God's given you, when you get properly aligned, you will have those that will help you press through every difficult place and come into what God has. You see, man's extremity is God's opportunity. And we are in an extreme time right now in our nation, in the nations of the world. But God. Tell your neighbor, but God. See, but God, because with all that is going on, this is God's opportunity to do something great in the earth. And so what's happening is you and I are sort of living in the birth pangs of a new age for God's kingdom. I love the story that Pastor Kathy was telling me about their expected granddaughter, and how on that sonogram they could see the arms and the legs and the bones of that baby forming. And you see, what's happening is that little one is in a tight place right now. Tell your neighbor, tight place. See, that little one is in a tight place. But what's happening in that tight place is this little one is growing and expanding. Through the pressure, it's growing and expanding. And those little arms and legs are kicking and punching and doing everything that it can to get out of that tight place and to come into the freedom to be who it was created to be. You and I are that same way. See, you're kicking and you're, you know, sometimes you feel like you're pressing and pressing. But it's because there's a growth of the Lord on the inside of you. You're becoming the man and woman of God that He created you to be. And you were not destined for a tight place. You were destined to break out. Tell everybody, breakthrough. You were destined to break through and to come into your God-given purpose. And so it is that with what God's doing today. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. Have you noticed that? All right, I thought you had. So we must press through then the difficult tribulation that you and I are in, because God's intent is not to take us out of the pressure, but to bring us through the pressure. And He is a God who is going to bring us through so that we're well equipped to handle what He has for us. So this stress and pressure of this old religious order is gasping for breath. Yes. This the stress and pressure of systems and structures that have been in place that have limited you from fulfilling God's plan, I want you to know it's sort of gasping for breath. The new order is kicking hard to be born. So this is a season, this is a time, if you will, of divine intrusion. Have you noticed God just comes and interrupts our plans? We thought we had a good system in place. And God shows up and tears the whole thing down and says, now I'll have a new plan for you. I have a new structure for you. He is doing something so powerful. He's interrupting man's agenda and religion's agenda. Oh, my. This is what God is doing in the earth today. I want to say this to encourage you. God has heard your prayers. You've been praying hard through this last season. I mean, it was the only way to survive. You had no hope but in the Lord. So you prayed. And God Himself has inhaled all those prayers that you pray. He has seen your obedience, and He remembers your obedience even when it wasn't convenient. He remembers the sacrifices that you made through your time, your energy, your finances. You wouldn't give up on God. You just kept on. And I want you to know God has not forgotten what you've done in this past season. He is overwhelmed with your lavish love and commitment to Him. He's just overwhelmed with what you have done in this past season. Now what God is doing is He is exhaling. Remember, He's been inhaling. Now He is exhaling. He is breathing His divine breath on every unnecessary and every unproductive structure. He is a good God. He is not going to let you keep on keeping on that with something that is not producing. He is tearing some things down. He is shaking some things. His breath is a very forceful breath. You see, God is not just some little breath, but His breath is very forceful. We see that over in Acts chapter 2, verse 2 on the day of Pentecost. It talks about this mighty wind of God. And that word mighty means violent. He has a violent breath that He is breathing on every unnecessary thing that needs to come down. He is determined to do something new and not just repair the old. Hallelujah. And so I want to say to you this morning, this mighty wind on the day of Pentecost caused the Acts church to become a first fruit to all future generations. And you know about first fruits. When the first fruit is given to the Lord, everything that follows is blessed of the Lord. And so we are a blessed people because we're receiving of the blessings of God because of that early church. And this violent wind on that day of Pentecost shook the people of that day, shook them out of some old mindsets. See, God's having to change some old mindsets, isn't he? Change some old mindsets. This violent wind destroyed their unbelief concerning the prophetic promises of God. They could no longer say, God, when are you going to do it? How long is it going to take? All that unbelief had to go because the violent wind of God came and shook them. And they understood that they had been in the midst of a shaking and purifying fire to prepare them. They were now positioned to fight for the promises of God. I want to say to you, there's a scripture I want us to look at real quickly as we close. I want to say, let the wind of God blow on you. Let it blow on everything that needs to be blown away and shaken loose in your life. Over in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 and 18, it says, so we are not giving up. Tell your neighbor, I'm not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside, it often looks like things are falling apart on us. On the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes. Tell your neighbor, this is small potatoes. They're small potatoes compared to the coming good times. The lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. God is doing a new thing in the earth. And you get to be part of this mighty move of God. Father, this morning, I thank you for every person that's here. I ask, Lord, right now, that you help them to find the place of peace and safety in the midst of every storm that they walk through. God, I'm asking you to ignite that fire on the inside of them in a new way, so that, Lord, they can move forth and fulfill the purpose for which they were created. Lord, we thank you for a fresh anointing upon us today. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo! Let's give a shout to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Barbara, once again, you have blessed our church. We love you and appreciate you. Tell her one more time how much you love her.
Thank you. What a faith builder.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.